theme from the Sears Radio Theater. Tonight's story is a comedy with Andy Griffith as your host. Here's a preview.
What's the matter, Carl?
You nervous?
Nervous? Oh, why should I be nervous?
Oh, maybe you think Marianne's going to tell you that she likes me better.
Ha! This girl's got taste, believe me. I'm just wondering how we can restrain you after she chooses me.
The Sears Radio Theater will begin after this message from your local station.
This is Andy Griffith. You know, I would be a very happy, contented host if I could get an answer to one simple question. Why is it so difficult for brothers to get along with each other? They don't have to like each other. All they have to do is help each other out of jams. Make excuses when a window's been broken. And make sure there's more than one of them around to face a class bully after school. What's so difficult about that? Well, I found that the perfect set of brothers is as rare as a reliable dentist. Just look at the good book. Cain didn't exactly give Abel a love tap. Young Joseph's brother sold him to a party of traders. They didn't even try to exchange him for a different model. And we all remember the prodigal son. But who remembers his older brother? The one who stayed at home while the prodigal son whooped it up. I suppose brothers were meant to disagree about anything and everything. So imagine what might happen if a brotherly disagreement centered around a young woman, and a pretty one at that. Imagine, because that's the beginning of our story.
A new adventure in radio listening. Five nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis' production of The Sears Radio Theater. Our story, Oh Brothers, by Mark Trella. Our stars, Stephen Keats and Janet Waldo. The Sears Radio Theater is brought to you by Sears Roebuck and Company, where value is your byword. Sears, where America shops.
Let me say this. There's no closer relationship than brothers. Except sisters. Or husband and wife. That sort of thing. But brothers usually, like I was pointing out earlier, brothers usually are close. I mean, they share things, secrets and such, and generally aid and assist one another. Even occasionally, I've been told, they've been known to help out others.
This past year has been the happiest year of my life. And I owe it all to two brothers, Carl and Jerry Bernowski. Because, fellas, without you two running interference, I wouldn't be the contented man I am today. Nothing bothers me now. Why, I won't even mind hearing your story again. It all took place in Chicago, that toddling town.
Good morning, wonderful brother of mine. Oh, watch out, Carl. I wish you'd get your eyes examined again.
How'd you like to do me a favor, Jerry?
I knew it. If I have to write another love letter for you, the answer is...
Not no, Jerry, please. Your handwriting is so exquisite. Here's the pen and paper. I'll dictate.
All right.
To the most beautiful girl in Chicago.
What's her name?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, what's her address? We can send it to occupant.
I don't know that either.
How do you expect her to get this letter, Carl?
Love will find a way.
Carl, sit down a minute. On the chair, Carl. Look, you can't go off the deep end every time a beautiful babe steams your glasses. Why, you're not even sure what she really looks like. Where are you going?
I'm going to catch the bus.
That's the closet, Carl.
I'll show you. They laughed at Edison. They laughed at Marconi.
And they laughed at Carl Bernowski. But somehow, Carl managed to catch his bus. And on that very same bus sat the most beautiful girl in Chicago.
Boy, this bus is sure packed today.
Here's a vacant seat.
It's you.
Pardon me?
Oh, I mean, thank you. What's the world coming to when a lady has to offer a gentleman a seat?
Oh, that is a bit out of the ordinary.
And so are you. I saw you sitting here beneath the Keep Chicago Beautiful sign. I said to myself, Carl, that girl is doing her part.
I'm flattered, but the sign I'm under says, please turn down your radio. It is
keeping Chicago beautiful.
Thanks. Oh, excuse me.
Well, you're not leaving, are you?
I have to. This is my stop.
But you can't get off now. I don't even know your name, and it's driving me crazy.
Easy, Carl.
Your name? I can't even sleep.
Wait! I want to get off! If I give you my name, you'll let me go, right?
Oh, I'd do anything for you, Miss... Miss...
Anonymous. Anonymous. My real name is Mary Ann Schuler. Now, will you please let me go?
I wasn't keeping you, was I?
Oh!
Well, don't you want to know my name? Well, when can I see you again?
Now, although Carl didn't exactly endear himself to the young lady, he did learn her name. So Carl wasted no time returning home. He had a letter to dictate.
Harrison steps up with the bases loaded and two out. A hit here could win it for the Sox.
I'm back.
Quiet.
Harrison takes strike one.
You'll never guess who I saw on the bus.
Not now, Carl.
Harrison swings and misses. Strike two.
The most beautiful girl in Chicago.
Come on, Harrison, you bimbo. Get a hit.
Strike three. Game's over. Not blue.
Oh, wait till next year. How was your trip, Romeo?
Oh, wonderful. Fantastic. Terrific.
We can't be talking about the same thing.
Here, take a letter, Jerry.
To the most beautiful girl in Chicago, Mary Ann Schuler.
Hey, you got her name.
Good work, Carl. To the most beautiful girl in Chicago.
So Carl dictated his letter. At times, it was touching.
My idea of heaven is boarding a crowded bus and finding the only vacant seat is next to you.
At times, it was improbable.
I'd ride the bus all the way to Hegwisch to see you. I'd wait for the bus in snow up to my neck.
And at times, it was downright impossible.
My fondest wish is for you to get off at my stop. Eternally yours, Carl Bernowski.
Oh, brother.
Read it back to me, Jerry.
Do I have to? Are you sure you want to send her this letter?
Certainly. I got her address from the phone book, and I'm ready to go. My heart and soul are in that letter, Jerry.
May I make a suggestion?
What's that?
Don't send this letter yet. This is strong stuff, Carl. And the last thing you want is to put off this young lady, right?
I suppose.
Why not wait a couple of days? Who knows? You might even change your mind.
Never. I'll wait. But I know the time will not cool my ardor.
Carl has been plagiarizing the romantic poets again. So while Carl waited, a funny thing happened to Jerry while he was on the bus.
Well, hello there. Is this seat taken?
No, it's not.
It is now. You know, I saw you under the Keep Chicago Beautiful sign, and I said to myself, Jerry, that girl's doing her part.
Where have we heard that one before?
Does everyone in Chicago talk to himself like that?
Only when he is deeply moved by someone as beautiful as yourself.
Oh, brother.
Excuse me. I've got to go now.
Oh, my knee. It's an old football injury, and you're twisting it around like a pretzel.
I'm sorry. How was I supposed to know? I just missed my stop.
Terrific. My knee stiffened up, and in a minute, it'll be as big as a melon.
Oh, well, I won't be around to harvest it for you.
Hey, you can't crawl over me like that.
Oh,
I'm hurt.
Now, Jerry wouldn't let an opportunity pass by when it landed in his lap, especially if the opportunity was beautiful and unattached.
Take your hands off me this minute!
I'm trying to help you.
I've had more help from Mashers. Now let me go.
Fate has thrown us together. Why don't you give me your name and phone number?
I'd turn in my own mother first. Now, if you'll excuse me.
When can I see you again?
Whenever they let you out again.
She likes me. I can tell.
There's one thing I can't inconsiderate, unscrupulous, insufferable, and,
kind of cute. I've seen cuter faces in a lineup at the 34th precinct.
I was so angry, I didn't notice how attractive he was.
So is a Venus flytrap.
Why didn't I give him my name?
Because you're smart, that's why.
To the most beautiful girl in Chicago.
My car was supposed to hold on to that letter. Poor guy. After Marianne finishes reading it, she won't give him the time of day.
Eternally yours, Carl Bernowski. What a wonderful letter. Such romantic thoughts.
Oh, brother.
And such exquisite handwriting.
It's not Carl's. He writes like a third grader.
Who addressed the envelope, I wonder? Oh, there's a short note, too.
What does it say?
Here's that funny handwriting again. It's more like...
chicken scratching.
Like chicken scratching. It says, I would be honored if you would share dinner with me this Friday evening. Forever yours, Carl Bernowski.
Eternally yours. Forever yours. Carl's gotten himself into a time warp. Well, he's certainly less dangerous than Jerry. And if she's got to go out with one of them, it might as well be...
Pardon me.
Oh, it's you again.
Yeah, it's me. I want to apologize. Back there on the bus, I behaved rather...
crudely.
More like a Neanderthal.
I don't know what got into me, unless it was your beauty that caused me to lose my head.
Oh, brother.
May I make up for it over dinner?
Dinner? Well...
Please say yes.
Oh, all right. But it has to be Saturday. I've got a date Friday night.
Oh, anybody I know?
I doubt it.
So give me your name, and I won't bother you till Saturday.
You're getting off easy, Marianne.
I'm Marianne Schuler. Bye.
Don't you want to know my name?
I'll find out soon enough.
Women, how do you like that? Where's that darn bus when you need it?
Why Jerry didn't connect Marianne with Carl in his letter is anybody's guess. We can't expect Jerry to remember everything. And like the lady said, he'll find out soon enough.
Scooter Delaney at bat, two on and two out. Hit here, good win it for the side.
Carl, wake up, Carl.
Jerry, what a dream I had. I got married during the seventh inning stretch. And the Sox won the game.
Scooter takes strike one.
That's nice, Carl. While you were dreaming, I lined up a little hot number for the weekend.
Oh, that's nice, Jerry. It just so happens that I've got a romantic interlude of my own.
Delaney fouls this one back. Count is 0-2.
Why, you sneak?
You sent that letter after all, didn't you?
I sure did.
Scooter watches one line of the dirt. It's 1-2.
What's your girl's name? Maybe we can double.
They can't do it Friday. She's already got a date with some bimbo. Her name's Marianne.
Delaney takes this one way outside. Count is even at 2-2.
No kidding. Marianne. Has she got a last name?
Has she got a last name? Of course she's got a last name. It's Schooner. Schuver? Oh, boy, I'm terrible with names.
Scooter hits the deck. That pitch was too close for comfort. Full count, fan, 3-2.
Could it be Schuler? Marianne Schuler?
Yeah, that's it.
The lady swings and misses. This ball game is all over.
Hey, how did you know her name, Carl?
That's easy, Jerry. I'm the bimbo she's going out with Friday.
And Jerry have yet to reach an understanding over their mutual heartthrob, Marianne Schuler. If blood is thicker than water, then surely a disagreement over a lovely young woman will not upset the brothers Bernowski. Or will it?
Series to Sun Devil Stadium, radio is your front row seat. For the whole sports picture, nothing beats radio.
From the stretch drive of the Derby to the great grab of a pass, radio is there. And if you have a special event you want to find out about, chances are you'll hear about it on Cool, Radio 96. Our country is the best informed nation in the world. Continuing developments in modern technology have enabled the media to speed news and information over communications channels instantly to you, the listener. We call this ability immediacy. And of all media, radio is the most immediate. You have access to radio throughout your day for news, for sports. Nothing beats radio. For the scores that count, where immediacy is the name of news, stay tuned to Cool, Radio 96.
Down those walnuts long enough to listen.
I could live with someone all your life.
You think you know him, and then something like this happens. The old double cross. Stop making a big production out of this, Carl. It was an honest mistake.
So was Doris Kaputnik, that cute cheerleader in high school.
She threw herself at me on the bus. Honest.
Yeah, so did Liz Shapiro in the cloakroom in the seventh grade.
She wouldn't let me go, Carl.
Neither would Alice Kozlowski in kindergarten.
What was I supposed to do?
I should have known. Every time a beautiful dream enters my life, you find some way to turn it into a nightmare.
Wait a minute, Mr. Martyr. Haven't I ever helped you out? And speaking of nightmares, how about that redhead from Calumet City with six screaming kids?
They were enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic, my eye. And don't forget that blonde who ran the roller rink in Blue Island. She wore those skates everywhere.
She was an artiste, Jerry, with a sensitive soul.
And a good right jab. Look, Carl, the last thing I want is to take away your girl, if she is your girl.
What do you mean? I saw her first.
Yes, what do you mean, Jerry? Well, I mean, she wouldn't be going out with both of us, Carl, if she's already got a steady boyfriend.
He's right, Carl.
She's unattached. And she's fair game.
Not for long, Jerry. I'm a notorious attacher.
Just like a barnacle.
Don't get your hopes up too high, Carl. The ball game isn't over till the last out. And I'm a pretty good clutch hitter.
We'll just let Marianne decide that.
Some choice. I bet they crack their knuckles, too. Since Friday comes before Saturday, Carl had the first chance to make a favorable impression with Marianne. To begin with, Carl arrived 30 minutes late.
Hello, Marianne. I'm Carl Bernowski.
You're also a half hour late.
Oh, I can explain.
I'm waiting.
Well, I caught the wrong bus. But I got tickets to the Bolshoi Ballet. I hope you like ballet.
Like it. I love it. I always wanted to be a ballerina.
I knew it. They're only in town for 10 days, and the tickets weren't easy to come by.
Did you ever have one of those days when it just wasn't your night? If Carl had read his tickets, he would have noticed that they were for the following Friday's performance. But Marianne took the whole thing in stride.
You're upset, right?
I am not upset.
Well, then why are you strangling your handkerchief?
I am not strangling it. I'm gripping it very tightly.
How about a movie? Would you like to see a movie?
I suppose you've got tickets.
Name a movie. Any movie. I'll take you.
I did want to see the new Jack Nicholson film.
My dear, it's done. Taxi!
By the time Marianne and Carl arrived at the theater, the line extended around the corner. They took their places and waited patiently as the line dwindled. They found themselves at the ticket booth when an usher appeared to make an announcement.
Sorry, folks, but we're all sold out for this show. However, there are some obstructed view seats left for the midnight show.
What do you think, Marianne?
Marianne? Angry, are you?
Angry? Me? Angry?
Well, it's not my fault that they're sold out, is it? I'm not psychic. I can't read minds.
Be thankful for that, Carl.
I'll bet you're starved. How about dinner? I know this great little place with continental cuisine.
And have a flaming shish kebab dropped in my lap? No thanks, Carl. Can't we just go home?
Oh, that's how you feel.
I'm sorry, Carl. I've had a lovely evening, and I'd just like to go home.
You mean it? About the lovely evening?
Well, it has been interesting.
It's been fun. We'll have to do it again.
He can't be serious.
Taxi!
of a slow-moving cab with the hypnotic lights of the city dancing on the windows, a man can easily fall prey to his basic urges. Carl decided to give Marianne some sound advice instead.
You've got a date tomorrow night, right?
Yes. Sorry. How did you know?
A beautiful girl like yourself is bound to have a busy social calendar. What do you know about this guy?
Not much. I met him on the bus, the same way I met you.
Oh, you should be careful about meeting people like that. A lot of oddballs ride the buses these days.
Listen to Carl, Marianne.
He seems like a nice man. He's good looking.
Athletic build, bad knee, fast hands.
Go on.
Self-centered, unscrupulous, insufferable.
Sounds like you know him rather well.
I should. It's my brother.
Are you kidding me?
I wish I was.
Two brothers and me in the middle. Oh, brother!
Now Marianne knows how it feels to be a club sandwich. If she didn't have such a keen sense of adventure, she might back out of her engagement with Jerry. Lucky for us, she decided to go through with it. As these meetings go, it was a veritable whirlwind. Jerry arrived 30 minutes early.
Hi there. Jerry Bernowski at your service.
Aren't you a bit early?
The early worm gets the bird. Are you ready?
Not exactly.
Well, let's go. Let's go. I've got tickets to the Golden Gloves fight at the Armory, and they start smack at 8.
Oh, I'll just be a second.
Make that a microsecond, and you got a deal.
Jerry should have been an efficiency expert. In 3 hours, he managed to whisk Marianne through 3 bouts at the Armory, a brisk jog through Grants Park, the final minutes of a rock concert at the band show, chili dogs at Rico's in the Loop, and several steins of Bock beer in a Northside tavern.
Gee, Marianne, you don't look so good.
Gee, Jerry, I don't feel so good.
You didn't look green earlier tonight.
I'm part chameleon on my mother's side.
You don't feel bad. We've all got skeletons in the closet. Marianne?
Oh.
Are you all right, Marianne?
Of course she's not, Jerry. Why don't you take her home?
Come on, Marianne. I'll take you home.
With Marianne safely recuperating in her apartment, it might prove interesting to hear how Jerry recounted his evening for Carl.
Is that you, Jerry?
Of course it's me.
Why don't you turn on a light so I can be sure?
You satisfied?
No. What time is it?
About 2:30 on the AM side.
You kept that sweet girl out this late?
Hey, when a girl goes out with Jerry Bernowski, she gets the grand tour.
Oh, no. You didn't run into Grants Park, did you?
Yeah, it's nice and quiet there.
And to Rico's for chili dogs.
Well, Rico's my friend, and his food is out of this world.
And then that cheap tavern on the north side. Jerry Bernowski, how could you?
Hey, I don't have to answer that.
And he didn't.
She had a wonderful time, and she wants to go out with me again.
I didn't know she was a masochist.
Jerry, you never could lie with a straight face.
Neither could you.
All that bull about how you went to the ballet and then saw a movie and then ate at a fancy restaurant. I bet you didn't do those things at all.
Did so.
Did not.
Did so.
I wonder who writes their lines. Well, the boys each became determined to outdo the other for Marianne's affections. Jerry pestered her over the phone.
Hey, how about a date tonight, Marianne?
I wish you'd quit pestering me over the phone.
Terrific. I'll pick you up at 8 sharp.
And Carl badgered her through the U.S. mail.
To the most beautiful girl in Chicago. Dinner at 9 would sure be fine. Ooh, I wish he'd quit badgering me through the mail.
Through it all, Marianne maintained a stiff upper lip. And, to her surprise, she began to feel a certain warmth in her heart for the brothers Bernowski. The brothers took her to strange new worlds. With Jerry, she went to ball games, strip joints, and even took a tour of the steel mills where Jerry worked as a foreman. And with Carl, she viewed the masterpieces at the Art Institute, browsed in galleries, and even toured the mummy exhibit at the Museum of Natural History where Carl worked as a guide. The months of activity brought a closeness between them. And it came as no surprise to anyone, except maybe Marianne, when the brothers began to entertain serious thoughts of matrimony. Carl's proposal almost came first. They were in the main library downtown.
Marianne? Shh! Marianne,
I have something important to ask you.
Can it wait, Carl? I'm in the middle of the Industrial Revolution.
And I'm in the middle of an important proposal.
Shh.
Carl didn't have much success with his proposal, and Jerry didn't fare any better. That very same day, Jerry took Marianne to the tallest building in Chicago.
What's the hurry, Jerry?
I've got something important to ask you.
Well, can't you ask me down here?
Nope. We've got to get to the top. Come on, let's go, let's go.
Jerry, wait. I've got something to tell you.
Through a technological miracle known as the express elevator, Jerry and Marianne were transported to the observation deck of the tallest building in Chicago in a matter of seconds.
Just breathe that fresh air. It makes my head swim.
Oh.
Isn't it romantic? Way up here above the hustle and bustle. Marianne, you don't look so good.
Oh, I tried to tell you down there that I have acrophobia. I'm afraid of high places, Jerry. Oh.
We all have our hang-ups, Marianne.
Could we please go down, Jerry?
Something important to ask you. Oh, but I guess it'll have to wait.
And wait it did. Now, all narrators observe an unwritten rule, and that is never to eavesdrop on a lady as she examines her private thoughts. But if no one will snitch, I'll break with tradition only because I have a personal, a professional interest in this particular case.
What a strange day. First with Carl and then with Jerry, I had the feeling they were both trying to tell me something.
Maybe they were both trying to ask you something.
Maybe they were trying to ask me something. What do men usually ask women? Uh-oh. They couldn't both be proposing.
Oh, yes, they could.
I like them both very much. But marriage? It's out of the question. Carl is intelligent. I could explain my situation to him. He'd listen.
But would he understand?
Oh, he'd never understand. And Jerry, he wouldn't stand still long enough to listen.
He might even get angry.
I hope he wouldn't get angry. He's certainly the excitable type. Ooh, I don't want to hurt them, but I don't want to marry them either.
Of course not. They're not your style.
I could never be completely happy with either one of them.
Or with both of them.
I need someone who will understand and appreciate me.
Exactly.
Oh, what can I do?
You'll think of something. You're a bright girl, Marianne.
That's it. I've got it.
What did I tell you? I hope she knows what she's doing.
Residence, Jerry speaking.
Oh, I can't bear to listen. Suppose we take a short break.
Hey, look, in here, inside this stylish man's dress shirt. I'm a Sears Value dress shirt label, just popping with pride, because Sears Value dress shirts are sure to be popular for a number of reasons. They have fashion spread collars, come in classic patterns and solids, and short sleeves. You'll appreciate the perma-pressed polyester or polyester cotton blends for easy care. Plus, at low value prices, what a buy. Just look for me, the Value Dress Shirt Label at Sears Men's Store, where style, sense, and satisfaction combine to label me right for you.
The natural look really helps do something for a woman. The classic look does, too.
Now there's a group of classic coordinates at Sears that really does up the natural look for spring. Everything in a nubby, texture-rich blend of polyester, rayon, and flax in two of this season's favorite colors, mauve or natural. Capture the double-breasted blazer, wrap skirt, straight-leg trouser pants, and open basket weave shirts. Sears Spring Coordinate Group in sizes 8 to 16 will really help do something for you at most larger Sears retail stores.
Hurry, hurry, step right up to most Sears retail stores for the Sears National Hardware Week sale. Take aim for special savings on these items. Save $20 on Sears Home and Shop Vacuum, now just $79.99. Get 20% off two sizes of trash cans, now sale price from $10.99 to $12.99. And get as much as $8 off a single-lever bathroom faucet. Take home big savings, real straight shooting at the Sears National Hardware Week sale. Hurry, hurry, prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Andy Griffith again. At this exact moment, the Bronowski residence is a beehive of activity. In order to understand what's happening, the
office. Carl, have you seen my lime green tie?
A lime green tie with a purple shirt?
The salesman said it was mauve.
Where's my tie?
I thought I'd wear it. A lime green tie with a brown shirt?
Well, the salesman called it burnt umber.
Can I wear the tie, please, Jerry? All right. If I can wear your lemon yellow slacks.
Deal. Gee, I hope Marianne's a good cook.
Anything's better than your cooking, Carl.
That's not true. I've got several specialties.
Is one of them burnt umber?
How do you get into these pants?
Well, the usual way. But it looks to me like you need a shoehorn.
Watch it, Carl. It's bad enough I have to put up with you at dinner tonight.
Well, I'm not exactly thrilled by that prospect either.
Just don't go into your talk about how they preserve mummies.
As long as you don't tell us how they temper steel.
Okay, okay. Let's go. There's still a chance I can lose you on the way over to Marianne's.
Fat chance, Jerry.
Jerry and Carl seem on edge tonight. Preoccupied might be a better word. And the bus ride to Marianne's only made matters worse.
Would you stop that noise, Jerry? You're embarrassing me. You're wearing a lime green tie and a brown shirt, and I'm embarrassing you.
Calm down.
What's the matter, Carl? You nervous?
Nervous? Why should I be nervous?
Oh, maybe you think Marianne's going to tell you that she likes me better.
Ha! This girl's got taste, believe me. I'm just wondering how we can restrain you after she chooses me. We don't want this in the papers.
Don't strain yourself, chum, because she's going to pick old Jerry.
Domestic squabble erupts into violence on South Side.
We'll honeymoon in Joliet.
Yeah, at the state penitentiary.
We'll settle down on the South Side and have lots of little Bernowskis.
That's a sobering thought. In no time, Jerry had them celebrating their golden wedding anniversary in the Steelworkers Union Hall. Carl, who had a firmer grip on reality, pulled the cord and got them off the bus in time to be at Marianne's door at the appointed hour.
Well, this is it.
It sure is.
May the best man win.
I'm sure I will.
Cut it out and ring the bell already.
How's my tie look, Jerry?
The tie looks fine, Carl.
Hello, boy. This is a surprise. You're both on time. Where did you get those pants, Jerry?
From Carl. You can tell he doesn't have any taste.
And Carl, that tie. Where on earth?
At Jerry's. Isn't it awful?
Come on in. Dinner's almost ready.
What a feast. What a repast. That girl can certainly cook up a storm. Toss salad, fried chicken, green beans, homemade bread, and mountains of mashed potatoes. Of course, the brothers were on their best behavior.
Here, Marianne, let me help you with that.
Here, I've got it, Marianne.
Thanks, boys, I can handle this.
By the time the strawberry shortcake rolled around, the brothers were stuffed.
Is this a meal or is this a meal?
And my compliments to the chef, Marianne.
Room for more, fellas?
Let me loosen my belt. I'm ready.
The way to a man's heart is strawberry shortcake.
There's a procedure that cattlemen follow before sending their livestock off to their fate. It's called fattening up. And unless I miss my guess, that's what's going on here.
More dessert, anyone?
Oh, any more and I'll explode.
I'm stuffed. I feel like a mummy.
No mummies, Carl.
Just a figure of speech, Jerry. Well, what do you say we do the dishes?
That's the least we can do.
Carl, Jerry, before you do the dishes, I have something I want to tell both of you.
A speech?
Not exactly.
Is anything the matter, Marianne?
Of course not. I just have something to say to you.
Oh. Oh? Uh-oh. Here it comes.
What I'm about to say won't be easy. I've known you both for some time, and we've become very close. That's why it's so hard for me to do this.
That's all right. Carl understands, don't you, Carl?
I don't think she's finished.
Thank you, Carl. What I'm trying to say is that I like you both very much. You're almost like brothers to me.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, this isn't coming out right at all. Maybe you better do the dishes.
Sure, Marianne. Come on, Jerry.
I get to wash, Carl.
Well, it was my idea. I'm going to wash.
You always get to wash.
All right, you can wash. He's going to wash.
We won't be long.
But don't hurry on my account.
I can see I'll have to eavesdrop on Marianne again.
Ooh, what a mess.
At least they're doing the dishes, Marianne.
Watch what you're doing, Carl.
Let's hope there'll be some dishes left.
Ooh, what can I tell them?
Because you're kind and considerate.
Well, why can't I just come out and say it?
Because you're sensitive and thoughtful.
I need to be treated differently.
Delicately. Like a piece of fine china.
Be careful, Jerry.
I get the feeling that Carl and Jerry don't really understand me.
How could they? You're such a wonderfully complex person, Marianne, with so many moods and feelings.
Go on, Mr. Narrator.
Pardon me?
I said, go on, Mr. Narrator.
How long have you been listening to me?
And how long have you been listening to me?
You mean you've been listening to me while I've been listening to you?
We've been listening to each other.
Did you hear that, Marianne? Carl says he thinks you've got another boyfriend.
She does, Jerry.
Jerry, what is going on out here? Uh-oh. Is this guy on the level, Marianne?
Completely.
Is this what you were trying to tell us at dinner?
Something like that.
I don't feel so good all of a sudden.
You don't look so good either.
Well, I get the picture.
No hard feelings, Carl?
Nah. I guess we had it coming.
No hard feelings, Jerry?
No. No feelings.
Fellas, don't go away like that. Here's two tickets to tonight's Sox game.
Baseball? At a time like this? Oh, come on, Jerry. Let's go to the ball game.
We're alone now, Mr. Narrator.
I hope you know what you're doing, Marianne. You hardly know anything about me.
What's there to know? You're not married, are you?
No, nothing like that. But what do you see in a guy like me who eavesdrops on people all the time?
You eavesdropped on the right people.
I'm just a narrator, Marianne, and not a very good one. Do you know how much a narrator makes?
Mr. Narrator?
Yes, Marianne?
Have you eavesdropped on your heart lately?
Yes, I have.
What did it tell you?
This is all so crazy, Marianne. You don't even know my name.
Is it longer than Bernowski?
Are you ready for this? Stanley Peranowski.
That's only one letter more.
It could make a difference.
Your heart, Stanley. What does it say?
It says that you are the most beautiful girl in Chicago. And that I love you.
And I love you, too.
Which makes me the happiest guy in Chicago.
Then why don't you kiss me or something like that?
You mean something like this? Well, that was a year ago, and I'm still the happiest guy in Chicago. And Marianne is still the most beautiful girl in Chicago, even though her last name is longer. And the brothers Bernowski? Well, they're still bachelors. But they're about to become the honorary uncles Bernowski.
Whisper Glide.
Sears Best Whisper Glide Travis Rods offer you more features than any other line of Travis Rods anywhere.
Whisper Glide.
So if you're decorating or redecorating, choose these. Their design features remarkably smooth drawing. And Sears' own non-tilt carriers help keep your drapery straight. Best yet, there's a size and a style of Whisper Glide Travis rods to fit just about every decorating idea.
Whisper Glide.
Our best. At most larger Sears retail stores.
I sell draperies at Sears. Yesterday, a lady came in and said that she'd been in and out of about every store in town looking for draperies and at this point didn't know what she wanted anymore. I asked questions about her tastes and decor, and then made suggestions. She was thrilled. She found what she wanted and learned a little, too. It made me feel good to know that I helped her out. Sears people are friendly people who help you find what you want.
Join
Join millions of Americans and shop the easy way with a Sears credit card. All you do to apply is call toll-free 800-526-0444. It's your entry to shopping convenience and quality merchandise. Your card will be accepted at over 3,600 Sears stores across the nation. And you can choose from over 100,000 Sears products and services. Even use it for your catalog orders in the store or over the phone. Just say charge it. Call 800-526-0444. New Jersey residents, call 800-652-2777 for your Sears credit card.
The Sears Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears Roebuck and Company, where our policy is satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Sears, where America shops. Old Brothers was written by Mark Trella, produced and directed by Fletcher Markle.